Blog Talk Radio.
Personal level. I deal with you personally. Not race,
or color or hair texture, nor that other nonsense. I deal with you as a person. Whether you're black, white, blue, purple, pink, or polka dot.
This is true.
You know, that's how I do, but again, you know, I guess as I was, I'm sorry, I'm losing track here. Like I said, I guess it comes back from the time of slavery, you know, where maybe being light-skinned did have a benefit.
Well,
you know,
I think, I remember at one point, and I don't know the full history on it, nor did I really care to know, because I just really don't. At one point they considered, or they would say that light-skinned were half-breeds. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were, the light-skinned folk was a mixture of the massa interbreeding, or, you know, having babies with slaves.
Right. Okay.
So,
Well, I mean, I see it as this. I could break it down like this real quick, okay? Now, my sister Lisa and I were both born from the same mother and father.
Yep.
Right? I just happen to be light-skinned. She just happened to be dark-skinned. Now,
yep,
we're both from the same mother, same father. You know, so, you know, what does that say? Does that really say anything? For me, it really doesn't. You know, but I believe growing up, people saw that I would get, well, why are you so light and your sister so dark? I never really thought anything of it, actually, until I got older.
Maybe your mother's
if it makes any sense. Maybe because I become a little bit more conscious of it because in this country, we put so much on the color of
emphasis
skin.
On color.
You know, whether we know it, you know, consciously or unconsciously, I believe we do. Or a lot of people do. And that goes within our own race.
Well, that's insecurities. That's the insecurities that some have.
I believe
years ago, like the light-skinned dudes were more like the pretty boys. You know what I'm saying? And dark-skinned dudes was like, eh, whatever. You know, those are like
see,
the lost
I
boys,
mean,
like the jungle bunnies. You know?
I mean, me personally, just growing up, I never associated color, race. I just knew who was my friends and who wasn't my friends, who I could play with and who I didn't want to play with. And I never based it on race. I never based it on color. So when I see it happen, like before my eyes, when I hear things, when I see things within our own race of, oh, well, you think that you a pretty boy because you light-skinned, or you think you a pretty boy because you got those light eyes. I'm like, that has, for me, it has nothing to do with it. You know, it's just in how confident I am with myself. You know, because, I mean, we are a race of different shades. And we should not be afraid or have any type of envy within our own because of one's color or one's eyes. We should, if anything, embrace it. Oh, wow. Well, you see, look at him. He got that, you know, that dark chocolate thing going on, you know, women. You know, he go overseas or something like that. You know, women love that dark chocolate, you know. oh, well, he lucky because, you know. I mean, we should embrace that in ourselves because, truthfully, I believe we are envied by a lot of other races. When I go overseas, I see how women react to black men and white men. I see the difference. When I go to Italy, I see how they react. The women there want to get their hands on the black man. You go outside this country,
Wait a minute. Is it the dark-skinned black man? Or is it the light-skinned? No, and I've got to ask. I'm asking for a reason.
Truthfully, in all honesty, it's just the black man in general that I've seen. Once they know that you're black, it's on and popping. You know, their eyes light up. It's like, oh, not a black man. Oh. You know, we're here. You know, I wouldn't say that we're not as well, but over there, it's something of a awe almost.
It's like a mystery. You know what the thing is? Look at it like this. There's that stereotype. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, like remember back in the days where they had that Spanish fly, and it's like, you put that in a girl's drink and it's on. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a stereotype. Like everybody wanted to know, does it really work? So it's a whole bunch of stereotypes with us. Oh, are the men really packing? Are they really violent? Are they really like this? Are they really like that? Can all of them rhyme?
No, it's not even it's that like because check this out. I went to a club, you know, while I was on my drill weekend. You know, I went to a club and I went out and met a young lady. White woman, and she said to me, she doesn't like white guys. She likes black men.
Okay.
She said when white guys get drunk, they act very stupid and very ignorant and very foolish and they're very loud.
That could be anybody,
not just a white, but this is what she said. I'm just going off of what she said. You know, which I found, you know, quite interesting. I'm like, you know, see, there's the other side of the story of, you know, the black man in America. Or the black man, period, anywhere. Some women, this is what they want. So, as us, as black men, you know, we must learn to embrace ourselves. If we can learn to embrace ourselves even more and not feel punished by the things that have happened because of our past, but embrace ourselves now and to move forward, we'd be much stronger than what we know that we can be. We'd be.
Well, the problem is there's too much hate. There's too much hate and envy.
Well, that's what it is, and this is what I want to get to. We should not have this strife within our own. We must embrace it because we are so like vastly deep, just so different. I wouldn't say so different, but we just come in very, very. Many different mixtures, you know. We come from light to dark and in between. We are all shades. And we should embrace that as black men. We should embrace that. And we should not put
too much
each
of
the, other too down.
Much of a division.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We should not put each other down because of, oh, well, you think you light skin, so... You know, it shouldn't be none of that. You know,
but The first thing is the ego.
We cannot have that animosity or anything like that on each other. We should just, you know, just accept this because that's who we are. And this is what makes us us. Whether you're light-skinned or you're dark-skinned, you're still going to be revered. No matter how light you are, if you know that you're a black man, then that's what you're going to be, a black man. No matter how light-skinned you are.
If you put it,
a black man living in America, and that's how you stand, and that's what you put, then all right, cool, fine. It's a beautiful thing, but for another black man to hate on that other black man because of his skin, let's not do that. Let's not do that to each other because that's just self-destruction. You know, I mean, I guess it just does go back to, you know, slavery time, and, you know, I guess that has almost like been instilled in us, you know, from
the life in the making,
man, you know, being in the house or being like the overseer or whatever, you know. But let's get away from that and let's talk about now, 2013, because we can't help what happened many years ago. We can't do nothing about that. But what we can do is come together under the banner of being African American or black men in this country, regardless of how light and dark you are. Because I'm going to say this. I remember many years ago, I was watching a TV program, and there was a panel of African Americans. And on one side you had light skin, and on one side you had dark skin. And I will never forget, but it was something like, should light skin African Americans be considered black? I damn near had a heart attack. I kid you not. I wish I could pull it up because I don't remember what show it was, but I remember this. And I kid you not. I said, oh my gosh. I said if anybody of another race is seeing this, they would probably flip out with laughter to see how we were trying to divide our own race, trying to call light-skinned people, I think, Asian or Asiatic. Like, how? Because I literally sat there and I said, I wish I was on the TV show. I know I was back in high school, but I said, I wish I could be on this TV show so I could sit there with my sister.
How did that make you feel?
I literally felt sickened and disgusted by it because they was clearly trying to put a wedge in our own race of light skin and dark skin when we come in so many different shades. So I was thinking to myself, so what about that person that is, you know, caramel color? Where are you going to put him at? You're going to make him another race? How can we make ourselves into like another race, making light-skinned people another race? Maybe some of the light-skinned people on the panel wanted it to be that way. I know I didn't. How all of a sudden I'm going to be some other damn type of race? You freaking kidding me? I'm a black man living in America, damn it. And I'll be a black man to the day I die.
Of course. Excuse me. I mean, my thing is this. I never really understood or even tried to understand the whole difference between the light skin and the dark skin. But I mean, they portrayed it certain ways on TV, and you know, you hear about it in music. I mean, you hear other people talk about it and stuff like that. But my thing is, the part where we screwed up is we allowed the division to even happen. We allowed the wedge to even, you know, we allowed the wedge to make itself known. That was the stupidest thing on our part.
I believe so, because I believe like maybe some light skin saw it as a way to be elevated. Like, okay, well, you know what, I'm light skin, so you feel that I'm better, so I am better. Or some light skin people try to use that. Me, I never tried to use that in saying that I was better or worse or anything like that. I'm me, and I'm happy of being me. But I would never try to use, I think that it's very shallow when you use your race to set a certain status or standard. Because I believe status is just, you know, is in what you feel. You know, it could be from what type of work you do, or I should say your occupation. You know, to where you live. You know, but based on race, it's a little insignificant to me. Because you have, within races, you have different statuses. Maybe they might not be equal, but they all can have a set same block. From rich to poor, to elitist to nothingness. You know, we could all fall in that category.
Well, this is true.
So, you know, but back to the program that I was watching. I mean, to see, you know, black people, African Americans, on that panel, getting up. I mean, if anybody remembers this show, even remotely, please let me know. Call into the show, 646-378-1882. Or hell, you can even hit me up on my email. You can email me.
Put too many eights up in.
MRLSEGACY@AOL.com. That would be MrLSLegacy@AOL.com. I mean, please, if you remember it, let me know, please.
But all right, so you're trying to say, because there was a time, and it was many moons ago, where I think a lot of light-skinned folk, the blacks, felt superior and better than the dark-skinned blacks, just because, you know, like they had more of an advantage, you know, in the situation, because they were fairer skin. Like, they fit the bill. Like, we as dark-skinned, because I'm dark-skinned, you know, I didn't fit the bill. Like, you know, the remember, once again, I'm the jungle buddy. You got the clean look. You know, you're light-skinned. You know, you got the hazel eyes, and, you know, well, not all light-skinned got the hazel eyes, but still in all. You know, you have a supposedly more cleaner look because you're light. Remember, light is right.
Nah, I mean, I've seen, look, there are many, many, every day, us as African Americans go out there clean, sharp, looking good, whether we're dark or light.
It's not the same.
It is too the same to me. If you dirty, you dirty. If you ain't looking sharp, then you ain't looking sharp. If I see a clean cut black man going to work, I'll say, yo, there goes a clean cut black man going to work. looking sharp.
But you know what? That's the thing.
And I'll never see them below a white man.
But see, but no. That's the thing. That's all they see. That's
half the time, looking sharper than the white man. You know?
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Because just the way how we just put on a suit, and we just the way how we just wear suits. You put us in a suit, yo, it's on and popping, B.
Yeah, but
and I'm not talking like, you know, the night out on the town suit. I'm talking about that three-piece business suit. You see a black man in that, you know he mean business, okay?
But the thing is this, once again, that's all they see is a black man. They don't see anything else. Yeah, at least you look at a light-skinned dude in the suit, or a light-skinned person, light-skinned woman, you know, dressed nicely. It doesn't quite say Negro. Like looking at a dark skinned person in a suit or dress, or a dark skinned woman dressed nicely. It just doesn't.
I don't know. Maybe I just see the world differently.
We all do. You know what I'm saying? We all see the world differently. Like, I don't care about, the only time I care about color is crayon. And I'm trying to do a picture with my daughter or something like that. That's the only time I care about color. And well, maybe when, you know, you buy your meat out the supermarket, you don't want the gray ground beef. You want the red one. But anyway,
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, yo, who cares about color? Because see, that's the whole thing in this country. It's always an emphasis on something, but most of all, it's color.
I don't get it how
some people, now check this out. I don't get it how, like, you have Indians. And not so much the West Indians, but like the East Indians. They come over here, you know, some of the Hindus, Sikhs, and, you know, Pakistani. And they got raped. They sold them, got attitudes with black people there. And I'm like, whoa, dude, you're just as dark as me. What makes you better than me?
You know what? I've seen that, and I just quickly put them in their place real quick. And I'll do that with anybody.
Like, what makes you better? Like, what makes you better than me? Like, I don't get it. Like, my thing is, this color shit really needs to just stop. It needs to take a backseat. It's not something that's gonna happen overnight.
No,
But this is something that's been in the making for years. But it's not gonna stop because it's the perfect distraction.
I think because of, you know, as a society, we still put so much emphasis on color, and we need to stop. You know, we really need to stop. We need to stop and think of ourselves as Americans.
I think we should think about ourselves as humans first. Because we've lost, you know what I'm saying, a lot of us have just lost that. Like, you got to stop labeling, like, I'm an American, or I'm an Indian, or I'm a black. Like, you know, when are we ever going to just think from, I'm a human? Once we get that, once we can realize that we're all human and we bleed the same and things,
yeah.
Nothing different, but the only thing different is my ego and your ego and their attitude. That's the only thing different. Like, that's the thing that really needs to stop.
I think that would have to come to, like, a higher sense of consciousness for that to happen.
Well, I guess
we're just not there yet.
Took off a long time ago then.
You know, we just have to come to a higher sense of consciousness where the basic necessities far outweighs where you come from and what color you are. Okay, here's a person that needs X, Y, and Z. Here's a person that's coming to me that can help me do X, Y, and Z and help me do, you know, whatever I need to do. And you don't look at them color first. You just look at them as they are a conscious being that can get me from point A to point B, or we can come together and make something better and greater. Because two minds are better than one. If we could start to come to that, the more minds we have to work on a topic, or the more minds we have to work on a solution, the better. You know, if we could get there into that consciousness where race becomes invisible, oh my gosh, it'll be a utopian society. Because
all those
other, you know, idioticies we will become blind to. And we'll just say it's just human nature for us to help each other because we are of the human race and that's what we do.
Yeah, but
Well, I like that, man. That was nice.
Yes, it was. But
that was nice.
Like, you know, to jump the other side of the fence, that we are the world attitude played out a long time ago.
Come on, man. See, you know, you want to play the devil's advocate. You do. You know that.
I'm a realist. The sad part is that I got to be a realist about certain things. And the fact is that it's all about control. It's all about big business. It's all about sheep and wolves. And the whole thing is you got sheep pretending to be wolves. And the wolves ain't even trying to go after the sheep. The real wolves
are
the sheep.
What? I like to feel that that's a dying breed.
What?
And that old type of Tyrannosaurus thinking is about to become extinct. That's how I like to look
at
it. And they're just getting their last puff, and they're doing everything and anything that they can do to play these trickery race games on us.
Well, of course, and we're going for it, and we're actually going for it. That's the whole thing.
But a lot of people are not going for it.
Like that whole thing with Florida with staying your ground. Like some people want to try to make it racist. Nah, you just have one. You had an incident with a couple of racist individuals, but the law itself is not a racist law. It's just a law in general. It's a bad law, but it's
law
in general.
People are going to, you know, any law that comes up like that when it deals with race, you know, they're going to try to bend it to how they can use it or see how it's a negative or a positive thing, depending on what side of the fence you're looking at it from. You know, it even goes like that with the Bible, okay? Look at how the Bible is interpreted between, you know,
different preachers.
Exactly.
Different pastors.
You know, look. Now, it's the same book, and look how it's interpreted. So, for laws not to be interpreted differently between the races, yeah, okay. Some people think, well, that law was racist, and it probably was never meant to be racist. It's just a view of that person, you know? I mean, sometimes you just got to just take a step back and just, you know, look at things from, you know, that type of point of view. You know, because you can interpret so many things in so many ways, and people do that. And it might not meant to be that way, but that's how people will interpret it.
Yeah, but you know what the whole thing is? You can't interpret something. First of all, if you look at the Bible, listen, I don't give a damn what anybody says. There's one thing to read, and there's another thing to understand. And there's another thing to actually feel. And the whole thing is nobody's really comprehending what's being said in the Bible. So, you know, you can't even interpret. If you can't understand or comprehend, you can't interpret what it says, what it means.
People tend to interpret it, which means they understand it differently from other people. Okay? Now, the Bible is the most famous book in the world, and it's the most published book in the world.
Nah, you got others. You got the Quran. You got the, like, the...
Not like the Bible.
The Torah. Nah, listen, you know why? Because it's easier to read. It's put it like this. It's been force-fed. It's been... So, of course, the Bible is going to be the hot seller. It's just like playing the same five damn songs on the radio all the time.
Even when you go look at different Bibles, you know, it's written slightly different. Nothing is, when you look at one Bible from one manufacturer to another one, the words are changed. Some words are changed. And depending on just that, the book can be interpreted differently. Just by slight changes on the words.
Yeah, but still, all right, but once again, it goes back to the level of comprehension. No, it just goes back to the level of comprehension.
I understand that, but everybody's comprehension is going to be different, especially.
Well, listen, we can't even sit down and iron out our own differences.
No,
what
we can't.
What the hell are we understanding in the Bible? What the hell
because
are we really thinking
what,
about,
it goes
about
like
the Bible?
This. You're never going to truly, if you read the if we all read the Bible for ourselves, everybody, for ourselves, not in the group, but for ourselves, not within the church, but for ourselves, we will probably interpret it differently also. But when you do it in a group setting and you have somebody telling you how the book is being interpreted or the reading or the scriptures are being interpreted and he's telling that to the congregation and the people, then that's how they are going to perceive it.
So, with an honest mind, with a straight mind and a straight heart.
Say that again.
Who's really perceiving it with an honest mind and a straight heart?
That's only for that person who is, you know, taking it in for themselves and what they're getting out of it, how they're taking it. You know, because you could be a pastor, and, you know, just because you're a pastor, I mean, you might not, you could say, well, you know what, I really don't feel that it's really telling the whole life of Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit, but it's what we got, so I'll throw it at the people. Or, you know what, I'm going to put a spin on it in a different way, which is how you get all these different sects of Christianity, you know?
How do we get to this topic?
I don't know. We just fell off from,
fault.
You know.
It's your fault.
Yeah, off the top,
that's,
but
that's,
it's, you know.
That's your fault. Let's get back to the matter.
Let's get back to, you know, difference between light skin and dark skin.
Listen.
Listen,
I mean, I know it could be, that's one of those topics that's sensitive to some and it's not sensitive to some, whatever. Like I said, as a grown-ass man that's been dark-skinned all my life, I've never known what it is to be light-skinned, but I believe there is a difference. I believe they look at, you know, you are looked at differently. It's, you know, it's especially dependent on your stature and your demeanor. But, you know, it's like they look like in today's society, everything that's dark is portrayed as negative.
So wow.
Dark is not right. It's dark is negative. You know what I'm saying? Like, people got to put cream in their damn coffee to lighten it up.
Wow.
I can't do black coffee. It hurt my stomach. Can't do black this. You know what I'm saying? It's It's very disheartening to know that in 2013, people are still looking at the differences between the fair skin and the not so fair skin.
Yeah.
People, you know, it's like, it's getting kind of corny. When do you go on to something else?
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean,
there has to be some type of, there has to be an enemy to always be hated. There has to be somebody out there to always be challenged. So, of course, if you turn around and I take the light-skinned dude and bring him in the house and I keep your dark-skinned ass in the field, that's going to bring resentment. But that's what they want. They want us to fight against each other. They want us to hate each other. They want there to be a division. Because that's how you talk.
Yeah, and unfortunately, sometimes we fall into that.
Every
know?
Day, because we're out there killing each other every goddamn day for stupid shit. Because of an ego. Oh, he stepped on my sneakers. Oh, he owed me $20. Oh, he did this. Oh, he did that. Like, for real?
I mean, me, in all honesty, I never thought of myself as being any better than anybody that was darker than me. I never thought myself as being worse off because anybody that's lighter than me. I've never felt that within myself. So for somebody else to feel that, I really, it's hard for me almost to comprehend because I've never felt that.
But now
I've never felt that just because somebody was lighter than me that they were better than me, or somebody that was darker than me, I was better than them. I've never felt that.
But now, have you ever come across somebody light skinned that felt that way?
Maybe I have, but I just didn't really think about it. Or I just maybe just thought that they were just an arrogant ass.
Well,
you
like back in the days, I mean, we used to look at light skinned women and think they were bougie. Like the
band,
a lot of them were. Some of them are to this day. Some light-skinned women are just bougie.
Bougie?
But you got some dark-skinned women that are just as bougie, too.
No. Me, truthfully, in all honesty, I never thought of, you know, when I said bougie, when I thought of bougie, I never just thought of a light-skinned girl or woman trying to be, you know, white or think that she's too uppity. I just thought too bougie was just, when you thought whether you were light, dark, white, when you thought that you was like the upper crust and your poopy didn't stink, didn't matter the color.
But
that was bougie
right,
to me, because I'll call a white person bougie in a minute, just as I'll call a white person, you know, ghetto. If you ghetto, you ghetto.
Look at some of these TV shows nowadays. See, in the Cosby Show, you had two brown skin. You had one slightly fair-skinned mother. She wasn't light-skinned, but she wasn't dark-skinned either. She was in the middle. And then you had the brown-skinned, you know, father. Nowadays, how many times when you look on TV do you really see, like, a dark-skinned man and a dark-skinned woman together?
You see it. I see it.
Okay. Is it rampant, or is this little, you know, little sprinkle?
I would say you see it a little bit more now on TV than you did back then. Look at all the black TV shows that we got now, man.
Yeah, the buffoonery, real shows.
Whether it's buffoonery or whatever, it's still black TV shows. and there is more of them. You know, there is more of them, and it's not, and it's not just, you know, one sided of the color. You look at them, and it's just a mixture of us, light skin and dark skin. Look at girl. You remember the TV show Girlfriends?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that show just because they showed, you know, black women being black. You had light, you had the light skin one, and then you had that, you know, dark skin honey.
Okay. But that was more realistic. That was somewhat realistic.
It was?
Yeah, because, you know, you had a group of girlfriends. It was realistic.
Yeah.
But like I said, how many TV shows do you usually see a light-skinned chick or a light-skinned dude and the thing is darker? You rarely see the same. In the same color spectrum. You rarely see that.
Should even really matter?
No, well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter.
They're black.
It shouldn't matter, but look at the way they put it across.
I think it's just us. You know, like
I said. No, it's not. We
got to get rid of that color thing, you know, and just get to the conscience of just people being people, just want to be close to another person, you know, not be, you know, never mind the color. I wish I could actually say this now. I wish the world was more like the way how I see it. I really do wish it was, because it would be a lot better. I wish people were more like me, and, you know.
Well, that's a strong statement.
Who gives a crap about color? Just don't be an idiot or an ass, you know. Do what you can do for your fellow man, you know.
That's asking a lot.
I don't really think it's asking a lot. I mean, if it's asking a lot to have a conscience and be human, if that's asking a lot, then...
Yeah, that's asking a lot.
Then I would say that we're a lot closer to animals than people realize. We're closer to animals than humans, then, if that's the case.
To be honest with you, I think animals are more civil than we are.
You're probably right.
I think animals are the more civil. At least they do things out of instinct. We just do it to do it. It makes no sense. Not really getting nothing out of it.
We do a lot of things. You know, just like having, you know, discord because of one person's color.
All right, so have you ever, like, walked into an office building or office setting? And have you ever looked at the ratio of light-skinned blacks to dark-skinned?
I've never even thought about even looking at that. Never. Never thought about that, because when I don't think of light-skinned and dark-skinned people. I don't think of it. I just see us as a whole.
Well, I understand
that's all I see. I don't really differentiate between the colors of us, like some people do. There are people that do that. Well, I'm light skinned. There are some light skinned people out there that don't even consider themselves black. They will say, "I'm light skinned. I'm not black." And I'm like, "Whoa, ouch! That's a slap to, you know, the black race."
It can be looked on that way, but it depends on their rearing.
It does. and where they came from. Yes, it does. But
because you know you got
I see that as a sad state, because right there when you're African American and you say I'm not black, you know, I'm light skinned. That's almost saying like, well, I'm of a different race because you're a little bit lighter.
Well, yeah, but that's good. That to me, that goes into the thing of like saying I'm better.
It almost is like saying that because you are denying, you are saying that you're not something, you're something else. Why are you trying to differentiate yourself from, you know, this race here? Why are you saying that you're something else when this is what you are? So what do you put down on the when you're going for a job interview, when they ask for, I guess you must put other.
Well, I'm sure they wish they could. Some of them do. Like, I don't think that that's a real issue nowadays.
But a person like that, I would stay away from them. I couldn't deal with a person like that, you know, because they have some issues going on there where they're not comfortable with themselves. And I think it's really sad when us as an African American, when we're not comfortable, when you're not comfortable with yourself.
Sometimes it's embarrassing.
A very powerful and negative signal to everybody that comes around you and gets to know you. It sends a very powerful signal.
Bro, come on. Sometimes it's embarrassing. You got to admit, sometimes it can be.
It is embarrassing. For me, it is embarrassing.
Because you look at our some of the things that our people do, and they do some real dumb-ass shit. They do some real embarrassing stuff, and it's like, come on, are you serious? Like, you act like you some of our people act like they really just don't have any own trainer. And some of them, like, really don't have own trainer.
But you know what?
But it's like, yo, you don't have to put that out there in the street. You don't have to put it out there for everybody to see, but that's what we do.
So, of course,
sometimes it can be embarrassing. You get on the damn bus or the train, and you got a group of young black kids, and they screaming and cursing and yelling. I mean, it don't look good. It's not a good look.
No, it don't look good. It don't look good.
It's stereotyped off the back. It's like we constantly have to feel like we got to be on our guard. We got to be on our P's and Q's because somebody's always watching. Us. Somebody's always watching us.
Yeah. A lot of times we give.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
But it's like, yo, what are we going to do about it? We're not going to do anything. We're going to do the same thing as usual. We're going to keep going on with the same self-hatred because we were listening to somebody telling us we ain't no good. We're busy listening to somebody tell us that we ain't this. We listen to somebody tell us we ain't that. Or we're never going to be this. We're followers. You can say whatever. Some of us can say whatever we want to say, but the saddest part is the good majority of our race is a bunch of followers.
We just have to, you know, come together and find it within ourselves, you know, to try to increase, you know, like self-awareness and self proudness.
That's that's why they had to, that's why they had to really douse water on the fire of Islam. Remember back in the day, see, the thing with Islam, people were taking it the wrong, some people were taking it the wrong way, but Islam was a very good religion. Whether it's Islam or the fruit of Islam or the 5%, it was very good for the black man because he was getting, he was using that to get his mind right.
Yeah.
And he had the support of other black men. Get your mind right. Know where you came from, know where you're at, know where you're going.
You're going.
Do the knowledge, do the math. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, keeping us mentally strong.
Yes.
And physically strong as well. It was a good thing. It was a great thing. But then what happened? It had to get shut down. It was creating too, much of a unified fort. Just imagine from what you saw out of, like, Malcolm X sect, or you saw out of the 5%ers, or remember back in the days in Brooklyn or on Bushwick, where you had the whole row of the brownstones that was owned the whole Islamic community. Just imagine that being more widespread with the black man. The black man being more focused. The black man being more concerned about house and home and unity and family. Just imagine that.
I have, bro.
And that's a picture. That's a picture that America's not ready for.
Well, I mean, we've been, like, even now today, we're being, a lot of those brownstones over there in Brooklyn, you know, these black families are being duped out of their brownstones now.
Well, of course.
They're being duped, and they're selling them. And who's buying them? Who's buying them?
Well, who do you think?
You know, so I would say, you know, there comes a time where, you know, we just have to stop and think about what we're doing and the repercussions in what we're doing. You know, we're changing the dynamics of neighborhoods by being duped out of these beautiful brownstones. See, what we thought was, you know, the hood, I mean, what you make where you're at is on our own accord. You know, because one minute we were seen as the ghetto, but yet here are these white people trying to get at these brownstones that are in these supposedly ghetto areas, these low-income areas. But yet they're trying to swindle these brownstones from out underneath our feet. You know, we as black
because
people gotta look
we don't invest in ourselves. We don't invest in ourselves.
What's going on here?
You know what?
Well, it's just the I hate to say it like this, but it's the ignorance of us not knowing our own property value. It's the ignorance of that, of not knowing you, and just like it's the ignorance of not knowing your own self value. We just keep getting duped on so many levels, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know, self awareness. Or just in self and education. We just keep getting duped, and we cannot allow ourselves to get duped anymore. Because soon, if we keep getting duped, there's nothing else going to be left to be duped.
Well, that's just what it is with us.
We're going to be lost.
That's what we allow ourselves to constantly, as he said in the movie, be horn swallows or bushwhackers.
So,
the
one thing that we have to learn, as you know, we have to learn from within ourselves that, you know, that we have to come together. You know, let's not put a divide where there doesn't need to be a division in light skin, dark skin. We need to meld that divide and embrace our difference. Embrace that. Because we are black, because we are African American, because we are of African descent. Whoa, wait a minute, what phone number is that?
What phone number is what?
Saying D Shepherd? You don't see that?
Oh, no.
You gotta,
let's find out.
Are you serious?
What's up? You're on the air with the menu.
Hey, Greg calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, good evening. Thank
What's
you
happening?
For calling
you
again.
You guys sounded surprised that you had a caller.
Oh, yeah. We've been on the air for, you know, like over an hour now, so we're just happy to hear that somebody finally called. So, yes, Greg,
yeah,
what
absolutely.
Do you have to say on this topic here?
I've been listening for a while, and this topic is, it comes up on radio a lot. I do a lot of podcasting. I do a pretty good bit of radio. And the best way that I can describe the whole dark skin versus light skin thing is really just racism within racism.
Yes.
Or hate within hate. And we pretty much get that. So I always ask myself the question, how many ways can we divide ourselves against each other?
Wow.
Because, you know, the bottom line is, you know, Hollywood perpetuates it and the media perpetuates it. But the thing that remains is that beneath all of it are the recurring slavery systems of money, religion, and politics.
Yes.
Those are the three main pillars of division and slavery, and those span all colors and creeds. We all know that. But you guys just said it a minute ago. I mean, I don't know which of you said it, but you said it's the ignorance of not knowing our own power. And that's one of the biggest things that I bring to my teaching, regardless of what color we are, what religion we are. When we don't know who we are guaranteed to be duped, and we're going to get used, and we're going to get abused.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's been
we
going
have
on
to,
for
yeah.
centuries.
Like,
I
we have
to
be
with that thing of trying to get rid of the ego.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost. We have to let go of the ego. Once we let go of the ego, it seems like everybody runs around with their guards up because everybody's so afraid of whether it's terrorism or each other or the government. Everybody's afraid of something nowadays. So everybody has their guard up. But when it's let down, people will definitely become more receptive to what's, you know, to the knowledge of what's actually real. I mean, like, you look at the Matrix trilogy. Some people are like, oh, it was a good movie, but it was deep. It was definitely something to make you think, you know, when you compare what's really going on to what we think is really going on. And it's actually not. It has its religious undertones, definitely.
My favorite line in that whole movie, and I'll never forget it, and I heard it played as a clip on a really, really awesome radio show out of D.C., and it's when Morpheus was in the room with Neo, and they were sitting across from each other, and he held out his hand, and he was talking about the pill and everything, and he said, for you to learn the truth, Neo, and he said, the truth about what? And he said that you were born a slave, and I swear to God I had a lump in my throat. I'd heard it before, but I was really listening to the show, and it was a break, and they went into that clip, and it just, there are so many layers to that movie. You know, minus the coolness of the special effects and everything. I mean, yeah, granted, that was a great thing. But you're right, it's really, really deep. If you don't mind, I'd like to read sort of a quick quote. It's from a book that a friend of mine just turned me onto, and I think it ties in really well. It's a book called How to Be Free by Tom Hodgkinson. I just ordered it on Amazon.
Please.
He's talking about TV screens and computer screens and movie screens. And he says, by parading a stream of other people's lives in front of us, screens remove the responsibility to create our own lives. We watch other people doing things instead of doing them ourselves. This makes us radically powerless, and powerlessness leads to anxiety, and anxiety leads to shopping, and shopping leads to debt, and debt leads back to anxiety. And I think that the reason why this system is so powerful is because it promises relief from anxiety, but yet it is the cause of anxiety. It's like an addiction, man. They just keep us, if we let them, they keep us hooked. We just keep sticking the needle in, man. We just keep sticking it in.
Because, you know, it's like, it's another, of course, it's another form of drug. Like, you don't want to go to the hard stuff. You don't want to deal with any narcotics. So what do? You go shop. Or you go eat. Or you go hit the club a few times. Or you go just spend your rent money and everything else. You just live like there's no tomorrow. But then when tomorrow gets here, then what you going to do?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's just all tied into the system.
Yeah.
Right there. That's just all part of the system. And, you know, keeping us trapped and keeping us in a circle of spending money on that aspect. But on this aspect here of, like, the interracial thing, I think we have to just become more conscious of ourselves and our minds and what we can do as a person and not be led to believe that we cannot do or this is what's going on in the world. We have to break away from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not be so selfish, but just be selfless and just be like, you know what? I don't give a damn. I'm going to help this person. I don't give a damn. I'm gonna do this because it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And you know, I believe that's how we can start to break down some of these, you know, these walls or these these divisions and subdivisions, because it is about divisions and subdivisions.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. One of the simplest teachings that helps me even personally in my life, because I teach a lot about debt elimination and things like that, is society teaches us to add unto ourselves. It's always about addition. But what I've learned, and I heard this from a female preacher, she said, what about subtraction? Let's reduce. You know, and minimalism is getting pretty popular these days in some smaller circles. But I try to remember that, is what can I take away from in the layers of non-me that have been added through listening to TV, radio, internet, whatever, and peeling the onion for, you know, that's a simple analogy. And the beauty of it is every time I add a layer, I'm creating more subdivision, like you said. You know, where do we live? We live in subdivisions.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, I mean, what's a planned unit development? What's a gated community? It's division.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Driving. It's,
exactly.
And I work in money, and I've seen people with, you know, planned unit development HOA fees of, you know, $300 a month. Well, those are created for a reason, to make it unaffordable for people of certain economic backgrounds, skin colors, and everything else. I mean, it's just division is all it is.
Yeah. It's just division on a different.
It doesn't have to even, like I said, if we really look at it, it's not even really about color.
It's, yeah, you just said it.
It's about
control,
and they don't want you to know that it's about control. So they
know
something else out there.
It's true, man. And, you know, here's
the thing. I believe, like, now, if they can use color, creed, religion, whatever they can use to divide and conquer, then that's what will take place.
Yeah, here's a simple example of division back in the 1960s. Hair. Okay? You know, hippies wore it long, right? There was the long hair. And that was a way that we divided ourselves amongst each other. Something as simple as our freaking hair. Come on, people. Come on. They don't care what it is that you decide to pick up and say, I'm going to use this to divide myself against my brother. They being the smarter people, they don't give a crap. If it's color, if it's money, if it's zip code, if it's light skin, dark skin, big nose, little nose, big butt, look, they don't care. They don't care. They're laughing at us.
I believe that.
They're laughing at us.
Like, look at them running around in a circle.
That's it. You know, and the thing of it is...
like how we watch the hamster in the cage.
Yeah.
We're the hamster in the cage.
I love the teaching, all roads lead to the center of town. So if the center of town is truth, whatever that is, truth for me, for you, on an individual personal level, all the roads that seemingly lead away from the center of town, they all lead back to the center of town. But what they have done is they've created side streets, and those side streets are circular, and they lead in a circle. And we get off on these side streets, Hollywood and books and fame and power and sex and all these other things.
And money.
And money. And we run around in a circle, and we wake up when we're 60 and we go, you know, I've been running around in this circle, and now I'm right back where I started from. And honestly, I believe, unfortunately, that a high 90% of us spend our entire lives and we die and we don't even know 1/100th of who we really are.
I believe that is so true, because when I talk to older people, you know, that have lived their lives, and I find them to be, it's like their eyes become opened and they realize what they missed.
Yeah.
And it's the tales, well, I shouldn't say the tales, the stories that they share with me, I try to incorporate every day. You know, where they say, well, you know, all my life I've been this way. You as a young man, don't be like that, because when it's all said and done, one day you're going to find yourself by yourself, and then you're going to realize in what in life you missed out on.
Yeah.
Okay, but the crazy thing is the cycle still perpetuates itself over and over again. A lot of people out there like Scarface, but you see what happens in Scarface.
He dies.
You still have people out there, but you still have people out there wanting to be Scarface.
Yeah.
Even though you know what's going to happen, you see what happens at the end. And it's like, so what is there really more to say? There's nothing
that you can
do, because they're not going to change their way. They're not going to really change their pattern of thought, because it's too ingrained.
Well, for people like that, hopefully, that you know, that one day that they'll just, you know, happen to wake up and just smell the coffee and they realize, you know, life is a lot more than money, power, sex, race. You know, it's just about the spirituality and just the experience of living. Like, I think that we have gotten, as humans, I think that we are getting away from the spirit of living, just the spirit of just enjoying one another. I find it so funny, when I go on a cruise, nobody is concerned about what's going on in the world. Nobody's concerned about, oh, this war is going on. Nobody's really concerned about what they're wearing, how much. They're out there to have a good time, to get away from the rhetoric and the heteric.
Yeah.
And you can talk to anybody about anything on a cruise ship. You can just walk up to anybody randomly and have a conversation about anything. I have met people from all different walks of life on cruise ships. And I think it's because of the setting of it.
Well, now you said the setting. Most times the setting is what? I hate to say it, but it's not in America.
Wait. But see, we are talking about Americans, but you are taking them out of their element and putting them all in this one cruise ship, and guess what? They have a commonality now. What is that commonality now? To have a good time, to just live and be at peace. That's how we should be living.
So they're not American, they're humans. It's a group of humans just having a good time. Like I said,
let's not say Americans, let's just say a group of here. There are humans out there to have a good time and to live, and that's what we need to do, because we get too caught up in just life's indifferences, negativities, and we dwell on that. When we should be embracing life, we should be embracing each other, embracing our differences to make us better as a whole.
But I have to say this. One thing we have to really look at first and foremost, are we beings that are acting human? Or are we humans, you know, being something? Like, which is it the human first, or is it the, or are we beings first? See, sometimes it's like, you gotta, it's, even though it's, you gotta look at the words and the definition of it. Because once again, it just goes back to that label. And it's, I really think that we're just beings trying to get along as humans.
Yeah, you said something really, really powerful. You've touched on a really raw nerve here. And our biggest problem as a species is we need a new language, because we've been talking the same old junk for way too many years. And it's killing us.
Yeah,
I love word origins. I don't necessarily mean, you know, let's look it up for 20 years until we trace it all the way back. But just the basic use of language is one of the biggest ways that these people in power keep us divided amongst each other. Let's just look at the word divide. There's also the word division. And then if we talk about gambling, let's throw the dice. And if we have just one dice, we have die. And then we have deity. All of these words are about division. And we use them and we don't even know what they mean. And we don't understand that they have spiritual power, whatever spiritual is for each person, doesn't matter. But it's definitely in the language, man. I really started paying attention to the simplicity of words and how they're used, and why is it that one word that sounds exactly the same way means 5 or 10 different things? This is where they keep us confounded and divided amongst each other. I'm saying a word and you think it means one thing and three people think it means another, and then we all sit around and argue about what it's supposed to mean. And in the meantime, they're taking money out of our pockets and they're taking our kids away from us.
Exactly. So now, like I was saying, this is also said about the Bible also. Here, you could have, you know, this religion group, the same book, interpreting it different ways.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Now that we're talking about words, and you just said the big bombshell word, what does the word BI mean when we say bipolar? It means two, doesn't it?
Two. Yes, it does. Bi means two. That's
and
correct.
What was that word you just said? Bible?
Bible.
That's interesting. That's interesting, isn't it?
Okay.
And I'm not bashing on
it. It was technically in the Old and the New Testament.
Yeah, there you go. It's divided, isn't it?
Yeah. Division again.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. I mean, no matter how you look at it. But see, I mean, it even gets deeper than that, because what? The most famous one is the King James Version.
Yeah.
But at the same time, do you really remember we're taking someone else's interpretation?
Yeah.
Or a so-called breakdown of, you know, them transcribing the Bible.
Yeah.
We're taking their interpretation and we're reading it.
How are
we guaranteed to know that it's actually meant? How do we know that this person said, well, you know what? I'm not going to write this. I'm going to write something else. I'm going to add this in there. I'm going to add my own stuff in there. How do we know?
Well, that's what happens. You know? That's why it's the King James Version.
You know what? As much as a lot of people don't want to believe it, but I do. You got to look at the Torah. You got to look at the Quran. And you got to look at the Bible. They're all connected.
I believe. I believe that because I believe it is. That I do believe.
They don't want to put that out there.
No, they do not. Because they still want division.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the times in my life when I came into a better place in having these conversations is when I understood, because it took me a while to get to this place where I was like, I'm not really sure, but I had to absolutely know without any doubt, all religions are systems of slavery and division, all of them, they're all thought systems.
Yep.
And when I could get to a point where I wasn't in the need to tell the entire world that, which is okay, but if the conversation did begin, to unapologetically and diplomatically be able to say that and be okay with it and not have the need to defend it. Because what we do is is we shut down the conversation in this area so quickly, and I think we really lose the opportunity to have some really great dialogue. I love calling in occasionally to radio shows whose topic is purely hardcore traditional Christian. And I've learned to speak in certain ways where I can have massive, awesome dialogue with people, even though I don't call myself a Christian. Now, whether they assume I am or not is none of my business, but we connect at a very deep level. And there was a time when I would be like, well, let me define this word because I was afraid of how they were going to perceive me. Throw all that to the wind. Let's just find a common ground and have some dialogue.
Exactly. Here you have that. Freedom all the way.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. I mean, I don't care if you're a damn Satanist. It doesn't bother me. Do what you do.
Me? Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
As long as you are willing to talk and express, go for it.
That's what the menu is all about. It's all about discussion. It's all about bringing the art of conversation back. See, that's the whole thing. People talk nowadays. They don't have deep, meaningful conversations. Like conversations that are actually progressing to something, like mentally. You know, like we can talk for hours, but where are we going to go mentally with it? Do I walk away from the talk with something? No, but if I'm having some deep discussion, a deep conversation, yeah, I'm going to walk away with something. I'm going to walk away with something that's going to keep me up at night and have me thinking. And that's the whole thing. We don't really think like we used to. We don't use our brains. We got smartphones, smart TV, smart this, smart that. Everything's becoming computers and hardware are becoming smarter and we're becoming dumber.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Right.
Because I see it as this. You remember back in the days before cell phones, you could remember at least 10 phone numbers.
Of course.
10 phone numbers off the back of your hand.
Yep.
You knew 10. How many phone numbers do you actually have in your mind right now without looking at your cell phone?
Yep.
Probably just two. The five, 24.
Yep.
You know
that.
It's another big way that they, being whoever the nebulous they is, keep us divided amongst each other, and these little islands of nothingness sitting around drooling is through technology, because it seemingly improves our standard of living, but at the same time it decreases our quality of life. And my specialty is teaching about debt and the truth about how money really works, and trying to get people to figure out you can get off of this treadmill, but you got to stop chasing a higher standard of living.
That's,
of course.
Hello!
That's what they put on TV. Yeah, this is
It's what's being pushed to the masses. Spend.
Yeah. You know how I know I'm calling into quality conversation, and I mean this across the board, is if the chat room is dead. If there's like two people in there, then there's a good chance I'm going to hear some good conversation. If there's 60 people in there and they're having IMs back and forth, I don't want to be in there. I don't want to have anything to do with that conversation because it's nothing but noise.
Yeah, I try to stay like the whole chat thing because it's like I'm trying to get – it's all about talk. It's all about the interaction. You know, it's all about the exchange of the words. Like when you were breaking down stuff, like you talk about money. One thing that's always gotten me is the word currency, which has the word current in there. Current as in water, like water. So it's money. It has to keep flowing.
Yep.
You look at the word religion, the beginning, it says rely.
Yep. Here's a good one for you. This is an amazing teaching that hit me maybe 6 months ago. Somebody taught it to me, and I've been teaching about money since 2006. Why do you think they call it a bank? And I got to thinking, and I listened to this one teaching, and he said one thing, and it just totally exploded my whole paradigm of how I teach about money. This particular teacher was showing the back of a piece of foreign currency, and there was a riverbank. And he said, why do you think they call it a bank? And he used the flow of water as the teaching, and I said, oh, wow, I never saw it that way.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. It was,
that's interesting.
The bank, the riverbank, controls and directs the flow of the current or the currency, and, oh, man, my brain just exploded. exploded. It was amazing, man. It was really, truly amazing for me.
And you know what the thing is? It's so simple, yet it's so deep.
Yet
it's so, like, I'm just, like, people wouldn't get it. Some people just wouldn't think of it that way. And that's the problem.
You've heard the old teaching. Yeah, you've heard the old teaching, where's the best place for the devil to hide? Right in front of you.
In front of you. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And the thing is, they put this out there right in front of you to, like, just, like, wow. Like I said, it's all about not thinking anymore. It's all about not using your brain. It's all about just, I don't know, man. I mean, I just find it very interesting. The reason why
we're so beholden to banks, I mean, other than the fact that we put ourselves under debt slavery contract when we signed for the money that didn't exist in the first place anyway, we create it when we sign the papers, by the way, is because of the archetype of water. It's because if we look at a bank, it's an archetype symbol. Any culture can look at a picture, a very crude drawing of a river or water or waves, and we all agree that it's water. We all know this. This is a very deep ingrained thing inside of our psyche, and that's the reason why the word currency works so well. That's why the word bank works so well, because when we go to borrow money from these people, we actually believe that they control the flow of our life force, and we're borrowing it from them, and they have the power, and we don't. And that's really what racism is about, is keeping people ignorant of their power and ignorant of where their source truly is.
I totally agree. And the thing is, we at the same time, we don't realize how much of the power, like, we give them the power to do what they do to us. We give them the tools. We give them the time. We give them everything. We give them our information. We fill this out. We do this, we do that. We're very, as much as we want to try, some of us want to try and say we're not compliant, we are compliant. We are sheep.
Yep.
And we follow the shepherd well. Because everything is so interconnected, it's hard to do one thing without having to touch another. Like, you can't walk around and, you can try to, depending on where you're at, but you're always going to need paper money on you. Always.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they want to push it to a need where there's some places where you don't even have to have a dollar in your pocket. You can just use plastic all day long.
Are you talking about debit cards and credit cards? I'm sorry, gentlemen. People out there, I just want to apologize. My phone died.
Okay.
So forgive me.
Okay. But, yeah, we were talking about how, it really boils down to that big word, that small but big word, system. And that's what it is. It's all about the system of the way things run, whether it's a financial system, educational system. You know, it's everything is just a system.
Oh, and here's another one for you. Look at the word system. S-Y-S-T-E-M. Take the E-M off of it, and what have you got? You've got a cyst. What's a cyst?
It's an
infection, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we have to cut it open, and we have to drain it before the healing can begin, don't we?
Wow.
Yep.
The system is the problem, but they have trained us to go to the system for help and for redemption and for all these other things. And once again, the addiction perpetuates itself.
Yeah, we're reliant on the system.
Yeah.
We can't do anything without the system. There's only but so far you can go.
Yeah.
You can't go too far without, once again, we're in the matrix.
Yeah.
There's no way to really step out of it unless you detach yourself from it. I remember years ago I worked somewhere and I knew this guy, very good guy. He would never use plastic. He always had cash. Everything he paid for was in cash. And I said, well, how do you do that? He said, listen, I keep everything in life simple. If I don't have the money to pay for it, then I don't need it.
There you go.
If I don't have it, if I don't have it in my pocket, then I don't get it. So, but I pay for everything in cash.
That
my rent in cash, my bills in cash. And I was like, wow. Like, he was very untrusting of everything around him. He was a good dude. He wasn't paranoid. But he's a very smart guy. Like, some people think that people who detach themselves from the system are crazy. But actually, no. The people who choose to be in the system are the ones that are crazy. Because they choose to go along with the plan that is. He's not trying to be a part of it. He's an outsider looking in at us laughing. But like I said, he paid everything in cash. And he just kept it simple. Wore his little sports jacket, sunglasses. I mean, he almost reminded me of the dude from The Matrix.
Yeah.
the one that Neo fought. But nah, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
And I wondered for years, like, as long as I knew, I'm like, wow, you pay for everything in cash? He said everything.
Brother B, let me, since we're on getting on this, like, credit thing right now, let me just ask you guys a question. How many of us right now, talking on this radio,
hello, you still there?
I think we lost him.
Yeah, I think so too. Cause he's still there. I think no, he's gone. Well, if it's coming down to the whole thing of credit, I mean, nowadays you have to have good credit for car insurance. You have to have good credit to maintain your job. It's interesting how they tied having a job, going to school, car insurance. They tied all this into credit.
Yeah.
What does car insurance have to do with your credit? What does going to school or keeping your job have to do with your credit score?
Yep.
I mean, yeah. I just find it very interesting.
Well, I mean, what they've done is they've built a prison with brick, and they just stack them higher and higher every year. And it just creates more of a prison is all it is. And I had to really come to a place, because when I woke up to The Matrix, I was in it. I was working in lending, literally in the belly of the beast. And a friend of mine said, don't go crazy. You can do a lot of good on the inside. Just teach people one at a time if you have the ability to. And that's just kind of how I do it. Most people that I talk to that have an Ivy League education, they don't have any idea of what the Federal Reserve really is. They don't really want to know because it goes against everything that they believe to be truth about politics and, you know, money and all those other things. Or they say, it's just too confusing. I don't really want to know. And I said, no, you're right, because once you know, you can't not know.
Exactly.
And that's,
exactly, because it's going to haunt you.
Yeah, that's where the – I love what you said about The Matrix. You know, we're in it. Can you imagine a fish – becoming suddenly consciously aware that he is surrounded by water, what it would do to his mind if he wasn't prepared for that awareness? It could drive him crazy, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what happens to some people when they wake up and they realize they're in the Matrix.
it can drive you crazy. Like, you ever seen somebody that's walking the street talking to themselves? You see a homeless person, you know, you think that they're whacked out. Sometimes I have to look at them and wonder, maybe I'm the one that's whacked out and they're the one that's normal.
Yep. Yeah,
I have to look at it another way.
I think the people that talk to themselves like that, they're much closer to sane than society thinks they are, because they basically speak what's moving through them. That, you know, they don't edit it, they don't pare it down, they don't go, it's going to offend somebody, they just say it. You know, kids are that way. You know, they come out of the womb with yes up to their eyeballs, and we beat that out of them. We train them into no. I mean, we always do. That's just the way society treats us. You know, stop saying yes, because when you're little, it's always yes, 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 and then we teach you that's bad. And then eventually your imagination dies and your will to live gets smaller and it shrinks and you just, you know, you just become part of the system. So I think those crazy people are a lot smarter than a lot of us think.
Yeah, I mean, they have to have something to offer. I mean, I'm surprised, you know, I can just imagine Einstein and how he must have drove himself crazy. I mean, if we really open our minds to what was really going on, like too much, too fast, you totally lose it.
Yeah.
You totally lose it.
It would be, I think most of us spend a lot of our lives, I know I do, saying to ourselves, you know, I really wish that in one moment the truth of what and who and how God really is could be revealed to me. Now, my head would explode. I wouldn't be able to handle it. It would be like trying to put 50 million watts of electricity through a 40-watt light bulb. You're just not ready for it. You just don't have the filament to handle the juice.
And that's the problem. We've become so – like we're going backwards.
Yep.
We should be progressing and going forwards.
Yep.
And we're not ready to accept, like, anything. Like, whatever, like, a UFO came here and just, like, landed in Central Park or landed somewhere. It's like, oh, my gosh, like, we couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Call the 559-99. You're on the air. Hello? Okay. But, yeah, as I was saying, we couldn't handle it because some of us are so egotistical to think that we're the only ones out here.
Yeah.
Like in all this vastness, we're the only ones here. Like all these movies and stuff are fake and stuff like that. We're the only ones here. Like it's impossible. Like if your mind can be that narrow and that small, then maybe you deserve whatever you deserve in this lifetime. But we can't be the only ones here.
Yeah.
We can't be that unconscious to think to not be that conscious.
I like the teaching from an old school guy from Canada. He said, "If you can imagine it, then it already exists." I mean, the fact that I can even think about it means it already is part of the primordial soup, right?
Exactly.
So if it can pass through my mind as a thought of a whatever, a scenario, a dream. Even if it's a fragment, even if it's so small, I go, what is that and what is it connected to? It exists because if it's all coming from the same place, wherever that place is for everybody, I don't care. We're not going to argue about that anymore. Then it's all part of the primordial soup. That means I didn't invent any of this stuff. All I'm doing is picking up pieces of the puzzle that already exists and going, where does this fit?
True. But that's the problem. No one just wants to. It's like, once again, back to the Matrix.
Yeah.
He knew that the stake wasn't real.
But it was good.
He just had to have it. He had to satisfy the want.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Everybody wants to satisfy the want. It's all about the want. You know, it's not about the overall purpose, but it has to be the want. And we got to get rid of that one. Like, I'm big on Star Trek. And with Star Trek, it's a society where they don't use money because everything is free.
Yeah.
Like, there's no barter system or anything. So everything is just free. They live in a society without money. Like, why does that have to just exist on TV? And yet it's still a controlled situation somewhat, but everything is free.
Yep.
But nobody really pays attention to the real ins and outs of it. Like I said, some people just look at it on the surface. Oh, it's just a TV show. Okay. We only use, what, 9, maybe 10% of our brains?
Yeah.
Nobody ever really thinks about what's the other 91%. 90%.
You know, you mentioned the word ego earlier, and I love anagrams. And a simple anagram for the word ego is geo, and we know that geo means earth. So think about it. The ego keeps us anchored in the 3D illusion known as, you know, the planet, this thing we're walking on, because we know we're more than that, obviously. This is just a training ground, you know, or the experience that we go through to learn who we really are. So I think that's it. I've never even really thought about that anagram before, ego and geo.
Yeah, I mean, because people, that's the thing, people are not going to, I mean, if you really look at the Bible for what it is, I kind of look at it as, it's an instruction manual.
Yeah.
It's a manual. There was this rapper called Killer Priest, and he was down with the Wu-Tang Clan. He did a song called Bible, and he broke it down and said basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yeah.
That blew my mind because I was like, wow. Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Because when you look at it, the Bible is just a manual. It's a collection of stories as well, but it's a manual.
Yeah. I've seen a man teach out of the Bible, straight out of the Bible, and use it to teach astrotheology, which is the study of the stars. And he wasn't stretching and going, well, this means this. No, he was breaking it down, simple, fifth grade, old school. This is what these words are, and here's where they came. I mean, it was amazing. It was blowing my mind. Absolutely blowing my mind.
Yeah, I would like to have heard that.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Astrotheology, it's amazing. There's some that believe that the human body is actually a blueprint of the galaxy. That's where all the chakras and all that other stuff come in, but that's a whole different thing. But it's amazing. It is all connected.
In some way along the line, it has to be. It all has to be connected some way, in some form. But it's just that a lot of us just, once again, it just goes into the thing of where are our minds really ready?
Yeah.
Like we're not really ready for it.
Yeah. You know, at my work, we sit down and have lunch. I usually take about a 30-minute lunch at my work, and unfortunately, 98% of the conversations are, you know, dancing with the stars and what are you going to cook for dinner tonight? And it's almost pathetic. I can't hardly stand to stay there any longer than about 30 minutes. It's just disheartening. And people actually getting excited about what they're going to put on their steak tonight or how they're going to prepare their salad. And I'm like, are we really this lost?
Yeah.
Are we really this lost? And I think we are to an extent. I mean, I'm optimistic, obviously. There's hope. But, man, I'm telling you, some days, man, it just seems dark.
Yeah, it really does. Even though, you know, they say it's always darkest before the dawn.
Yeah.
It just once again, I believe there's communication, but then there's effective communication. We don't communicate effectively. And that's the biggest issue of all, because we get caught up on so many other things because we do not communicate effectively.
Yeah.
Like I said, it just goes back to the thing of we talk at each other. We don't really conversate or converse. We don't discuss things. Everything is just talks.
Yeah.
Talks is roommate. Talking is on the surface.
Yeah.
But no one really wants to get deep because some people either don't want to hear certain things, they don't want to hear certain truths, or there's certain things they just choose not to reveal.
Yeah.
You know, about themselves or certain things that they just don't, you know, something they may know they don't want to put out there. But it's just a communication thing where it's a big barrier and it's a problem.
It is. Listen, I'm going to run. I really appreciate you opening the mic. I really enjoyed it, and I thank you for letting me share.
No, thank you for calling in. Thank you. You know, feel free to call in more.
Absolutely. You guys have a good night. Take care.
All right. You too, boss. Take care. Well, on that note, about to shut down shop, I guess Brother L is somewhat been exposed, but I want to thank all you guys for listening to another episode. Even though we kind of got sidetracked, it was a good sidetrack. And want to thank Mr. Shepard for calling in. Definitely an asset, and very informative, you know, in the conversation that we had. This is Brother B, and of course, for Brother L, let's say good night. Thank you once again for listening, and we'll catch you next week, part three of Being Black in America. Is it really about being black? I guess we'll talk about that next week, Thursday, 8 p.m. Peace.